Chapter number 12, you remember David had a serious moral failure. He committed adultery with another man's wife, got her pregnant, and God sent Nathan the prophet to come and rebuke David. And David responded in verse 13 by admitting, "I have sinned against the Lord." He has a repentant heart. Nevertheless, David was going to enter one of the lowest valleys of his life. His baby was born and got very sick. Look with me at verse 15. It says, "And Nathan departed unto his house," the prophet, "and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick." David begs God. Look at verse 16. "David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth." David goes in when the baby gets sick, and he goes in, and the Bible says he lays there before the Lord. And I mean, we can just imagine what he's saying. He's crying out to God, and he's getting his heart right, and he's just telling the Lord how he's failed. "But Lord, please be merciful. God, please, please, God, please allow the baby to live." Verse 19, "But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead." David ends up losing this baby. He goes through a very deep valley. Have you noticed that life isn't always about being up on the mountaintop? Have you noticed that? How many of you have noticed life's a roller coaster ride, huh? Man, it's got its ups and downs. And it seems like one moment you can be up here on the mountain, and the next moment you're down here in the valley, and you got these struggles, these heartaches, these things that you're going through. But let me ask you this. Is a Christian, a believer who knows the Lord, are we immune from the valleys of life? Because I'm a Christian, does that mean I'm not going to have any valleys? Christians get sick. Christians lose loved ones. Christians lose children. Christians go through times of despair and discouragement, loneliness and fear and depression. And Christians have family problems, and Christians have health problems, and Christians have job-related problems and financial problems. And believers go through all these things. We go through these valleys in life. And I think as we read this story, as we've been going through the book of 2 Samuel, there's so many great lessons about valleys. We're learning some things about valleys from the life of David here. How can we make it through the valley? Well, there's some lessons here I think we need to learn. The first one is this in your handout, and that is this: there are consequences when I disobey God. We know that David's valley was self-inflicted. We know that David really brought this valley on himself. It was his own sin and his own disobedience. Now, sometimes we go through valleys and it's not of our own making. It's not of our choice. It's not of something we've done. All valleys in life aren't created because of disobedience or sin. Sometimes valleys are there just because we are alive. We're living on planet Earth. We're living on a sin-cursed Earth. And as long as we're alive, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be difficult things to work through. There's going to be those valley times in our life. But there are times when our valleys are of our own making. And you know, we kind of have a self-inflicted wound, if you will. And so when we're in those times, that's a good time to learn that lesson. Because what we do is we want to sometimes blame God. And, you know, it's not God's fault. Many times the valleys are there because of choices and decisions that we've made. And so we need to learn that lesson that there's consequences when I disobey God. But number two, the second lesson learned is that closeness to God can come through the valleys. You know, when we're in those valleys, it can drive us to our knees. And we can learn about God, and we can learn some things about God, and we can get to know Christ in a more personal way than we've ever known Him before when we're in those valley times. But then the third lesson, and this is new territory. We covered those first two last week, so I hit them quickly. The third lesson learned this morning is this: God may deliver you through the valley rather than out of the valley. God may deliver you through the valley rather than out of the valley. I wonder, how many of you have ever seen those things outside of stores like Walmart where they, it's one of those game things, you know, you put in money. I don't know how much it is. I've never really done but $1 or $2. And then it's got this crane with this arm. And you put in the money and the crane comes over like this. And then it comes down on whatever item you're hoping to get, you know. And then roop, you lift that item up, and then roop, it comes over, and boom, it drops it. And boy, you got you, for a dollar, you got a 25-cent item, you know. But you won, amen, you won. But, you know, sometimes we're down here in the valley. And we want God to, like that crane, we want it to come over. We want God to grab us by the nape of the head and whoop, we want Him to take us out and deliver us out and boom, take us out of the valley and put us back up here on the mountain, you know. And we want God to deliver us out of that valley. David is fasting, praying, beseeching God. He wants God to deliver him out of the valley, snatch him up and deliver him. Look at verse 17. It says, and the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. So he's down here on the ground, right? He's beseeching God. He's drawing near to God. He's getting his heart right. He's getting where he needs to be with the Lord, which is a good thing. But then his servants come in, and they're like, man, you got to get up, David. You got to eat. And David's like, get out of here. Leave me alone. I want to pray. I just want to seek God. I don't want to eat. He's like, God, I want out of this valley. Please get me out. But verse 18 says, and it came to pass on the seventh day, 7 days he did this, that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? God did not take David out of the valley. He had to go through the valley. When we're in the valley, I think naturally we want God to reach down like that, you know, and we want Him to lift us out of the valley, set us up there on the mountain. We want God to answer our prayers in a way that will eliminate any pain. We want God to answer our prayers in a way that will eliminate the suffering, eliminate the problem, eliminate the heartache. The problem, though, is this. Look in your handout at Romans there, 8:26 in your handout. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me ask you a question. Do we always know the best way to pray? No, we don't. And, you know, we want our prayers answered in the way we want them answered. But here's the problem. We don't always know exactly what the best thing is to pray for. And in your handout, it says there, we say, God, get me out of the valley. We're praying, God, get me out of the valley. And then God says, no, I'll give you my strength and grace to walk through the valley. A great example of that is the Apostle Paul. I think it's a great story, and I'm glad it's in the Bible, because you realize how human we are. You remember when Paul, the Bible says a messenger of Satan came and buffeted Paul? That means that Satan came and struck Paul, and it left him with a physical infirmity. Some believe that it was an eye ailment of some sort, where he couldn't hardly read or write. And Satan comes and gives him this thorn in the flesh. How did Paul respond? Well, same way we would. He's praise. Look with me in your handout at the verse there. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. What does that mean? Three times. That it might depart from me. God, I went out of the valley. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul says, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, you know what? I have learned to take pleasure and appreciate those valley times in my life. Because he said, when I'm in the valley, he said, you know, it's a funny thing. I depend on Christ more. I'm trusting him. I'm where I need to be in my Christian walk when I'm down there in the valley. And he said, when I'm in the valley and I've got no strength of my own and I have to depend on God, I have to depend on Christ in me, he said, you know what? It's then that the power of Christ can live through me. When the three Hebrew children, Nebuchadnezzar made the decree, anybody that doesn't fall down and worship the idol, you're going to be thrown in that mighty fiery furnace. They're going to be thrown in that burning hot furnace. Let me ask you a question. Did God deliver the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace? Good. Excellent. I thought maybe I could trick some of you. No, he did not deliver them from the furnace. Did they have to go in the furnace? Yes. But here's what's neat. God didn't, you know, sometimes we're like, God, get me out of the fire. And you know what? God says, nope, I'm not going to get you out of the fire, but I'll get in the fire with you. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he looks down in the fire. He said, didn't we throw three guys down there? Yeah. Well, there's four. And one of them was the Lord himself. God didn't deliver them out of the valley, but he delivered them through the valley. He got in the fire with them. Aren't you glad, friend, that when we're in the fire, aren't you glad to know as a believer, nothing can separate us from God? He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the fire. Isn't that a blessing to know that? Number four, the fourth lesson we learn from this story of David is that God gives us His grace to endure the valleys of life. God gives His grace to endure the valleys of life. After David discovered that the baby had died, I want you to notice his response. What does David do when he finds out his baby died? Look at verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Man, his servants couldn't figure that out. They're like, what in the world? His baby dies, he gets up, he washes himself, he gets him a shower, puts on clean clothes, goes, worships God, goes to his house, and says, bring me some food, it's time to eat. What? Verse 21, it says, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. What in the world? How can David get up, go and worship God, go to his house, eat? David didn't get bitter at God. He didn't get mad at God. God gave David the grace to make it through this valley. And you know why? In your handout, it says instead of focusing on what he lost, he focused on the promises of God. Isn't that great? Look at verse 22. How does he answer his servants? Look at verse 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David says, I can't go to this child. He said, the child can't come to me. He's dead. He's gone. The baby cannot come to me, but one day I can go to him. Isn't it great to know if maybe you've lost a loved one, some of you here in the last 6 months. Oh, how so many times we want to bring them back and we can't bring them back. But isn't it great to know because of Jesus Christ, we can go to them. And he said, I'm going to focus on the promises of God. I'm not going to get bitter about this. I'm not going to get mad at God. No, I'm going to focus on the promises of God. God provided David the grace to make it through this deep valley in his life. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that's a good verse. But boy, has it been misunderstood and misapplied and has it been preached falsely. so many times through the years. Let's look at it. It's in your handout. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation. Now, that doesn't mean being tempted to sin. That means a trial. The word temptation can sometimes mean a trial, an affliction. There hath no trial or affliction, or we could say valley. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, will with that affliction, with that problem, he'll make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, there are people who use that verse, and here's what they teach. They say, God's up in heaven, and they kind of got this vision of God. You know, God's up there, and he's pushing buttons, and he's pulling levers, and he's manipulating circumstances, and God has intentionally put you through these adverse circumstances, and he's done it to strengthen you and temper you like steel put through the fire. And they say God does this to prepare you, to enable you to do something great later. And they say when you're right at the breaking point, I mean, God's just pressing on you, and God's just giving it to you, and God's letting you have it. And when you're right at the breaking point, God's going to step in and God's going to deliver you. And that all sounds very intriguing. There's only one problem. That isn't what the verse is teaching. I want you to notice what the verse says. Notice the words here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. We're not talking about some kind of testings that are unique to the believer and that come from God. We're talking about things that are common to man. We're talking about things here, Paul says, that believers go through and unbelievers go through alike. You know, adversities that are common to saved and unsaved, they're common to man. They're not some special unique testings from the hand of God. No, but here's what is unique to the believer. There is something unique to the believer in that verse. And here's what's unique. God is faithful. And in your handout, it says God makes the believer able to handle these valleys without breaking apart under the load. God provides a way of escape. What is the way of escape? Here's what you commonly hear. Now again, this is what you hear, but it's not accurate. People say, man, God put you through this valley. God put you through this problem. And when you are right at the breaking point, God is going to swoop in and God's going to deliver you. If you just trust Him, if you just pray through, if you just name it and claim it, if you just, you know, say the word of faith, if you just have that faith, God's going to swoop in. He's going to deliver you. It may be at the midnight hour, but God's going to come in and God's going to swoop in and He's going to deliver you out of that valley. Well, there's an obvious problem with that kind of thinking, and that is, look at the end of the verse. What does the very end of the verse say there? Because it refutes that whole thinking. Notice he says, that ye may be able to what? Bear it. Endure it. That's what that word means. You see, when he talks about the way of escape, it isn't that the adversity goes away. It isn't that God waves a magic wand and makes it all better, makes it all go away. No, God enables you to bear it. How? He does it through His Word. He does it through all the marvelous resources that He's given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Look in your handout at that great verse there, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace. Say that with me. God is able to make what? All grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in what? All things, good and bad, may abound to every good work. Hey, listen to me. Christian, believer, those of you who know the Lord. If adversity or if sin swallows you up and destroys you, you cannot point an accusing finger at God and say, God, you put too much on me. No. God has provided the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. The way of escape is not God just removing the circumstance. It's not God just, whoop, lifting you out of the valley so that you don't have to face the thing anymore. But the deliverance is God empowering the believer so that you can go through that thing, bear it, endure it, and do it victoriously and be a light for Him. You know, a great verse is this one. Let's bring it up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 11. Paul said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, three different cities. What persecutions I what? Endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. How'd the Lord deliver him? It wasn't that God just went, whoop. No, you read the book of Acts. One time he was stoned and left for dead. It wasn't that God just, you know, people started to come at him and God said, whoop, and then delivered him. No, he said, no, there's persecutions, there was afflictions. He said, and I had to endure through them. But the Lord delivered. The Lord brought me through the valley. He didn't deliver me out of the valley. He gave me grace to make it through the valley. By applying His Word and His grace to the situation, you're able to bear up under the load so that that thing doesn't destroy you. I don't know what it is you're dealing with. I don't know what it is the issue. I don't know what the problem is that you're dealing with right now. But God will give you the strength to bear up under it so that thing in your life doesn't destroy you. It doesn't just wipe you out. Many Christians have given up. Many Christians have quit. Many Christians have gotten bitter at God. They think God's given me a raw deal. And of course, it all goes back, so many times it goes back to that Calvinistic, you know, theology that has just been subtly implanted in people's mind that God has this pre-planned thing over here. And so that means that every problem in my life, God sent it to me. Every trial, God did it. Every affliction, God did this to me. And I'm amazed at how many people want to blame God for everything in life. Like God's up in heaven. How many of you remember the movie, The Wizard of Oz, and the wizard's behind the curtain pulling levers and pushing things?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You know, and we think God is like the Wizard of Oz up there. He's pushing buttons and pulling levers and he's putting all these things in our life. Isn't it funny that people always want to blame God for everything that's bad instead of blaming Satan, who's the author of evil? You know, when Paul said, man, we wanted to come unto you time and time again to Thessalonica. We tried to get to you. You know what he said? He didn't say, oh, but it was God's providential will that we have all those problems and not get to you. No. He said, we wanted to get to you, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Satan is called our adversary. Satan is said to be trying to get an advantage on us. Satan, Bible says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Bible says, give no place to the devil. My friend, can I tell you, we got an enemy today. We got somebody opposing us. We got somebody trying to come at us. And just like Satan buffeted Paul, we got an enemy that comes at us. And it's amazing how people always want to blame God for everything bad. No, don't do that. Don't think God's giving me a raw deal. No. There are Christians who have quit, Christians who have given up, Christians who have gotten bitter at God. Ah, what's the use? You serve God and all you have is problems. You serve God and you still have these issues. I serve God, my husband never does get saved. I serve God and it seems like my husband treats me even worse. I serve God and look what happens over here. I serve the Lord and I got these financial problems. I serve God and I lose my job. And people think, oh, God's just not fair. Can I tell you something? Trials and problems are a part of this life, and as long as you are alive and breathing, you are going to have trials and problems. They are common to man. They're common to man. Lost people have them. Saved people have them. It's because we live on a sin-cursed earth, but aren't you glad for the day Jesus is going to come back and make this earth right? But until Jesus comes back and makes it all right, Satan is the god of this world. Satan's messed things up, and you're going to have problems and trials. You're going to deal with disease. You're going to deal with death. You're going to deal with all kinds of problems. You're going to deal with loved ones who give place to the devil in their life, and you know, they won't listen to the Lord. And you're going to deal with all these issues until one day you're home with the Lord up in heaven. But don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the Lord. He gives you grace. David didn't. David lost the baby, but he didn't get mad. He went in and he worshiped the Lord. There's a song that we sing here. I don't know, is you going to come play it for us? There's a song we do here, and we'll bring it up on the screen. It's called Your Grace Is What?
Sufficient.
It means it's enough. When I'm going through the valleys, Your grace is sufficient for me. Give me a chord there. Can you sing that with me? Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect when I'm at my weakest. And Your grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient. More time. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect when I'm at my weakest, and Your grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient. You believe that? Number five, last thing. God is the God of all comfort in the valleys. That's the last lesson we learn here about the valleys of life. God is the God of all comfort. Look at verse 24. Would you look with me at what happens after David loses the baby and he worships the Lord? He goes to his house, he eats, he explains to his servants. Now look at verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. David experienced God's comfort when he worshiped in the house of God, so now he is able to comfort his wife. And then what did God do? God sent them comfort by giving them another son. We know him as King Solomon, who would become a great man of God, a man of wisdom. As we said earlier, God doesn't necessarily reach down and snatch you out of the valley. It's during these times that we can grow in our faith. But God will provide His incredible comfort in the midst of the valley. Did you know that if you're saved today, you have somebody living inside of you called the Comforter? The Holy Spirit of God's called the Comforter, and He lives in the believer 24/7. We also have what the Bible calls the comfort of the Scriptures. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He comforts us and gives us what we need. In your handout, there's a great passage there in 2 Corinthians 1. If you'll look at it, there's a couple blanks to fill in. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by" who? Hey, look up here at me for a moment. Before you put your handout up, look up here. Let's not put our handout up yet. Hey, I want you to think about a trial, a problem that you've been through or that you're in right now. Now, listen. Do you think other people either have gone through what you're going through or are going through it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Now, next question. Can God, if you get comfort from the Lord, can God use you to help somebody else that's going through that problem? Yes. I don't know what valley you're in, but I do know this. God wants to take your valley and make you better. Don't let it make you bitter. Let it make you better. There are some lessons we learn in the valley. Many times we just can't seem to learn them any other way. You know, you've heard the old expression that some people have to learn things the what? The hard way. And it's true. Now, I don't think God's up in heaven manipulating circumstances to put you in the valley. I don't think God's trying to make your life miserable. I believe that valley times are a normal and natural part of life that we live in. Sometimes, as we said, they're self-induced. Everybody has trials, saved and unsaved alike, but the believer has the Lord with him through every valley. The believer has the comforters to strengthen you and sustain you through every moment that you're in the valley. Hey, when we're in this valley and we're walking through, we're like, God, I want to be back up there on the mountain. God, take me out. God, put me on the mountain. And God says, I am with you, my child. Every single moment I am with you through this valley. I'm not going to take you out of it, but I'm going to be with you every single step of the way as you go through the valley. And isn't it great to know that usually, eventually, we do come out of the valley. Amen. And God is with us every step of the way. I remember there was a time in our marriage when Denise and I had prayed and prayed and prayed that she could get pregnant and have a child. And then finally she did. And we told everybody and we were so happy and the church was thrilled and our families were happy. And I remember how thrilled we'd been praying for 5, 6, 7 years. And then right after we told everybody, soon after that, she began to have complications. And she was on bed rest, and we were praying and praying, but I knew she was losing the baby. And we were praying and we were praying and we were praying. And then the day came, and she miscarried the baby. And we cried, and we wept, and we felt great heartache. I can honestly tell you, I never blamed God. I never pointed an accusing finger at God. God, why are you doing this to me? No. No, trials are a part of life. Trials are common to man. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Through the tears, through the sorrow, through the pain, through the heartache, I can tell you 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. God is faithful. And God gave us His consolation. He gave us His comfort. And He gave us His help. And He gave us His grace. He didn't take us out of the valley. No, we had to go through it. But He was with us through the valley. And He gave us the grace to go through that valley. And I don't know what you're going through today. But I want you to take hope. And I want you to take encouragement. And I want you to take great consolation in knowing that God is the God of all comfort. And God is there with you. His grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. Don't get mad at God. Don't blame God. Don't get bitter at God. Rely on God. Trust God. Lean on God. He is your best friend. And He is there for you. And He'll walk with you every step of the way through that valley. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You so much, Lord, that You are with us through the valleys of life. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We know that these times are just part of life. They're part of the earth that we live on. We know sometimes they're self-induced. We bring it on ourselves. But Lord, we thank You that You're with us through the valley. Even when we're self-induced, You don't ever leave us. You're with us every step of the way through those valleys to comfort us, strengthen us, sustain us. And Lord, I know Your word is with us, so we just get into Your word and thank You that it comforts us. And I just pray that we will continue to grow in the word of God, to learn, to grow, to rely upon You, to trust You, to never try to point a finger of accusation at You or blame You or try to take bad things in life and lay them at Your feet. Lord, help us not to do that. Oh, we know, Father, that You could wave a magic wand and You could just lift us right out of the valley, but we know that's not gonna how you're gonna work on a typical basis, Lord. You're gonna let us go through those because, Lord, we know that as we go through the valleys, we learn to know you more intimately. We learn to rely on you, like Paul said. Lord, he learned to glory in those times of weaknesses because that's when he depended on you and trusted you, and that's when he could really see your power working through him, was in those times. So, Father, we love you, we rely upon you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name.